Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Really interesting story here, because obviously here in Texas, the big debate over mail-in voting continues and continues to make its way through the court system on what we will do later this year. But, you know, you bring up some really interesting points. For if there's going to be mail-in voting later on this year, it's not just a matter of, okay, saying we're going to have mail-in voting, Ryan. It's a lot more complicated than that, right?
Yes. Essentially, there's three things you have to think about. There's the law, which says how vote by mail can take place. Then there's any changes to that, like maybe being more loose and waiving certain requirements or something like that. And then there's the logistics. If you don't have the machines and the manpower to send out mail ballots, to receive mail ballots, to open them, to count them, then you're going to get a backlog. And the thing about an election is that there's a very tight deadline there where you need to get those ballots to people and they need to get them back to you in order for them to count. So particularly for places like Texas that haven't traditionally had a lot of vote by mail, the overwhelming crush of applications and ballots that are going to be expected is going to be a huge logistical nightmare.
Are some of these states already approaching a so-called drop-dead deadline where they would not have enough time to institute a mail-in voting system?
Yes. Normally, elections officials would never buy new equipment in a presidential election year. This is it's sort of like adding a new quarterback in the middle of the Super Bowl. You don't want to do it because it's too high pressure. It's too last minute. You want to be in a presidential election, you want to be doing things the way you've always done them, smoothly and with lots of forethought and planning. So it's already unusual that you would be buying new equipment. Then you have to think that, as in any government process, there can be a contracting process that you're going to have to go to buy the equipment. They're going to have to make sure on their end that they have the equipment available. This isn't off-the-shelf stuff. You can't just buy any machine. There's laws at the state level and at the federal level about what machines are okay to use. There are contracting processes in place about when you can get them. And then there's just simply everyone is going to be wanting to buy these, so there's going to be a high demand for them. Then you have to think, you have to get that machine. It's going to take them a month to send it to you, maybe 6 weeks. You have to get it. You have to get it in place. You have to test it. And you have to be ready to use it by September when you start mailing overseas ballots and military ballots, because that's really your deadline. So if you back away from those, what you're looking at is sometime in the next 4 weeks, you're going to need to make a decision about buying a new machine. And if you don't, it's going to be too late.
And then there is the counting process. How complicated is that once the voting is done, the votes are in? It sounds like that's something that could take a while. Will they have to count these votes by hand?
So vote by mail is actually easier and smoother if that's what you intended to do all along and that's what you have traditionally done. If you are, for example, sending a ballot to every registered voter, that's very simple and straightforward. It's actually very easy. You know exactly how many ballots there are, how many registered voters there are. You can send them out. If you're a state that requires people to apply for an absentee ballot, which is most states, then you have a whole other layer of paperwork where they need to send you applications. You need to check the applications, make sure that they're valid, put them in a system, retype the information. This is stuff that's usually handwritten or someone has scanned it and sent it in. You often don't have like an online portal or a website or something that makes it easy for people to do this. And in states that traditionally haven't had a lot of absentee voting, you may not have a permanent absentee list, which means that you have to start over from scratch every election. So that's a whole layer of work that you have to do there and that you have to do now, like in the coming months. Election days in areas like Texas, where people are used to voting on election day, all of that work happens on election day and maybe a few days beforehand for training. So you also have this personnel problem that you're going to need to get people and have them trained and doing this work in the weeks leading up to the election, even the months leading up to the election. And typically they don't have that staff. So that's where the machines can help, you know, in that regard. If you can buy some new equipment that can handle some of this stuff and processing it, then that could speed things up. Alternately, if you can hire people, that would speed things up. But there's also a problem of manpower, which is that these elections officials typically rely on older people to help them out. If you've gone to a voting place, you know that the people you saw there were retirees. 50% of the people in 2016 who worked at a polling place were over the age of 60. A lot of those people don't want to show up to work. They're afraid of coronavirus. They're more vulnerable to coronavirus, and they're just not interested in that kind of work. So you're also going to have a manpower problem. When it comes to the counting of votes, there's another layer of issues there, depending on the rules that you play under. In some states, they will say you have to have your ballot to us a couple days before the election for us to count it. In other states, they might say it has to be to us by election day. In other states, they might say it has to be postmarked by election day, which means that it could come 5 to 7 days after the election. If you have a state where a bunch of people decide to send in their ballots late, and you're still counting them, whether that's by law or because a state or federal judge has ordered you to allow them, as happened in Wisconsin, then you're going to have a lot of ballots that you can't count until after Election Day. And if that's a close state, then you may not know who won on election night, which is something that we're used to knowing. And if that turns out to be the key state, like Florida in 2000, then we could all be on pins and needles for a few days as those ballots come in. There's one other complicating factor with the late arriving ballot, and we don't know if this will be the case this year, but typically it's Democrats who are procrastinators. So when those mail-in ballots come in, the ones that come in right away are from older voters, more experienced voters, and typically voters who vote for the Republican candidate. The ones that come in closer to Election Day and in the days after it typically come from Democratic-leaning voters. It's called the blue shift. And that's because the vote by mail sort of shifts from red to blue as it gets closer to Election Day. So if we see a close fight with between the two candidates on election night, and then we still have some ballots that are left outstanding, you could see that tilt from one candidate to the other, which is going to raise all kinds of questions among voters who are seeing the president call into question vote by mail without evidence that it's fraudulent. And that's going to be also another risk.
Ryan, it just seems like there is so much potential for trouble here.
There's a reason to be optimistic, though. If there is any group of people that you could trust for what is sort of the civic equivalent of the Green Berets, it would be our local elections officials. If you've ever covered elections like I have at every level in states in the South and the Northwest and the East Coast, they're pretty much all the same. These are nonpartisan people who work really hard. They want to count every vote. They want to follow the rule books, and they like to plan ahead. And you can think of elections officials as sort of like Santa Claus. These are people who prepare all year and then do all their work in one day, and they're good at it. They're very good at thinking through these logistics. They're in contact with each other. The elections officials in states like Washington and Colorado that have been doing vote by mail for a long time are fielding phone calls from elections officials in states that don't do it about what's the best procedure, what should we expect, how can we avoid problems. So I think other than the money side, other than the financial problem, I think that you're going to see it not as disastrous as it could be. Certainly not as disastrous as it would be if you left it up to me. I'm not good at this kind of planning. But these are folks who this is their life's work, and they're very good at it. So I do feel confident in that sense. I don't think there's any reason to fear any sort of partisan hijinks from the local officials. I think the bigger concerns are how the candidates react to any changes, any sort of last-minute judicial interventions where a federal or state judge, you know, pops in and changes the rules at the last minute could also cause problems. And then just the Postal Service. We need the Postal Service to be working smoothly and efficiently come November so that we can get those ballots out and returned promptly.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.